15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products, with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As I mention all the time, we are heard throughout southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware. And I want to thank all of you that are spreading the word about our broadcast and all of our programming here on 860 AM. As you know, you can listen live simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. We also send out a rebroadcast to everyone that signs up for our Join Our E-List. We have thousands of people that get our broadcast, our rebroadcast, each and every week. And I want to thank all of you for spreading the word, because your words and your actions certainly mean more than you can imagine. I want to say a special thank you to our panel members, Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, small business advocate and SCORE mentor, Rich Logis, principal of RJL Technology Integration, who is on assignment today, and Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, and I'm Michael Blihash, and I hope that all of you had a very enjoyable 4th of July. It was certainly a great time for us to enjoy each other's friendship and family and celebrate the real meaning of what America is all about. Now, I know that many of you already had your flags out for the 4th of July, and I'm going to ask that you keep them out through the summer and also keep them out through the fall so that people know that you're a great supporter of the American-made movement. I encourage all of you also to go to our internet site at your convenience and check out some of the links on the site. You'll be very pleased. We have a site that is trying to promote what we're doing. You can check out Amato's Toy and Hobby Shop. He was our guest a few weeks ago. Last week, we were very pleased to have Brian Stewart with us, and he is from Flags of Valor. Brian and I spoke, and he will be on our show again in the near future. He's from Ashburn, Virginia. He had a wonderful, wonderful presentation. He told us about what started his business. Larkin Connolly gave him some good advice. And of course, Mark Andel was the best, and they really are one of a kind. And thank God for Mark's and Brian's and Larkin's and Rich's and Henry and everyone else. We have certainly have a lot to talk about today, and I'm going to ask us that we focus on something that you're hearing an awful lot about, and that is healthcare in America. As you know, in the last 25 years, the healthcare system in America has been doing some unbelievably crazy things. We went from a system that went from a reasonable rate of charge to something so outrageous that employers and individuals could not be able to afford it. Then came Obamacare, and that became a little bit of a problematic situation. More people were supposed to be insured, signing up, and things like that. But it just, nothing has worked the way it should. We have a great system in America for those that are of retirement age, and that is Medicare. And I believe that Medicare should be expanded. I hope that when the president returns from Poland and Germany, he will focus on getting everybody together for a single payer system that will cover every American. And I think that it can be accomplished if we have everybody working together. I'm going to ask that we focus our broadcast on the healthcare system. And I'm going to begin, first of all, today with Mark Andel. Mark, how was your 4th of July and what's coming up this weekend?
Yeah, excellent, Mike. Welcome. Hello, Mike and Larkin and Henry and our listeners. Great 4th, great time of year to celebrate and have a few drinks and just enjoy. Very busy. Ricky Lee had a concert in Cheektowaga, Mike, and I know you have friends there. And You know, the 4th, just a great day to celebrate and honor our country and our independence. And the Made in America store is all about that every day. We've got a great big show coming up. Jam in the Valley up here is a big show, 20, 25,000 people. Toby Keith is a headliner. So we do a nice show tent and celebrate more 4th of July, actually, with more. And they have an awesome hour-long fireworks display, which they're known for. It's a world classic.
So that's coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
Actually, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Thursday, Friday. Well, Friday, Mark, I bring that up because it's also an excellent opportunity to promote Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this coming week as National Small Business Weekend, a very important time for us to continue focusing on our businesses and helping our businesses to be able to employ people, be able to offer some benefits as a result of employing the people. A few weeks ago, Steve Almato said something which really took people back, and it was that employees are able to be employed as a result of profits made from the actual business.
Yes, I love that comment.
You know, that comment hit a lot of people. They liked that so much. And the same thing with benefits. Benefits are only possible from the profits realized from the business. If there's no profits, there's no employees, and there's no benefits. And with that in mind, I'm going to ask Larkin Conley, what do you think about the single-payer system, Larkin?
Well, good morning, Michael. Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Henry, and to all of our listeners. 4th of July, I don't think that we have ever precasted before a holiday with as good a guest as we did last week with Brian. I've got to call that out. And before I could get hang up the phone, pretty much, last week, I ordered one of his shirts, one of his black T-shirts with a vertical flag with Flags of Valor across the top of it. I can't wait to wear it and wear it proudly. And if I can find a wall somewhere in my house to display a piece of one of his flags, I'm going to buy one of those too. What a great effort. What a great story. What a great guy. And I look forward to working with him in the future with SCORE, because those are exactly the kind of people that we like to align ourselves with, and we put out the biggest effort for. So great call, Michael, and I thought Brian was worth every second of airtime that we spent with him.
And I want to mention that I'm asking everybody to check out his site, because it's impressive what this person has done. Go to flagsofvalor.com and be really impressed. As we say, what we're doing on this broadcast, I'd love to see it done by more of the major media, all the CNN and Foxes and Fox Business and all these others should be spending more time telling us how we can help one another. They should be talking about the healthcare system and things like that, not worrying about the petty stuff, which after 6 months we find out is all foolishness. That's why it's not worth our time to discuss it. But today we're going to try to focus on the single-payer health system. Larkin, do you think that would benefit America?
Well, let's assess the situation as it currently stands. President Obama put together with the Democrats in Congress, put together behind closed doors an Obamacare package that ended up being something like 2,800 pages and was ultimately voted on by the House before anybody reasonably could have read the bill to see what was in it. Most people calling it, a great start. And that's probably not a bad a definition of Obamacare. It was a decent start to try to solve an extremely complex issue. The Republicans ran on doing away with Obamacare, that it's no good, it sucks, it's terrible, it needs to go. And that was essentially one of the main planks in their platform was we got to get rid of Obamacare. And they still say that Obamacare is not sustainable and blah, blah, blah. Instead of fixing it, they went behind closed doors and put their package together, which is now being labeled Trump Care. And last week, Trump Care stalled in the Senate because 12 Republican senators would not support the Republican package, which gives you an idea of how segmented and how wounded the process in Washington, D.C. is. These are senators that were not part of devising the program. When they got their hands on it, they had 3 days to read it. They read it and said, it's mean. We're not doing this, or it doesn't go far enough with Medicaid. There were a variety of reasons that they were against it. So both sides have made a proposal. Neither one of them have worked. Neither one of them has been accepted by the other side. One of them hasn't even been accepted by their own side. So we find ourselves in a dilemma where we, the most powerful, the strongest, the greatest place to live, the greatest place to play, can't ensure the health of our citizens. And it's really sad.
It's very sad. You're right.
And I've now come to a point where I believe that some bastardization, some changing in the rules of a single-payer system would make a single-payer system very, very attractive.
Larkin, could you go through the single-payer system a little bit, give the audience an idea?
Well, I mean, the best example of a single-payer system in the country right now would be Social Security.
Okay.
We all pay into a pool. We all draw out of the pool based on what we put into the pool. A single-payer system wouldn't quite work that way. But, you know, you have to fund health care, and then you have to be able to perform health care. And the problem is, and this is going to anger a lot of people, but so be it, it's the truth. We have too many hospitals in this country, way too many beds, too many organizations trying to make those hospitals viable, overcharging for the beds that they do have bodies in and patients for. Our pharmas are just completely out of control and not being regulated as they should be by the FDA. Doctors are making egregious amounts of money for doing 20 minutes of surgery in the OR room. It's just completely out of whack. And the people, now, in an element of truth here, my wife is a nurse. My wife is an RN and a darn good one. But nurses who are doing most of the work are the ones that are least appreciated. So I'm not against doctors. I just think the whole system has to come together with a network of policies and procedures that will provide reasonable health care for everybody in this country.
You know, Larkin, you're right. The single-payer system really creates one system that will cover all people equally, regardless of age, income, employment, or their diagnosis. The precondition is a very big thing that made Obamacare something special. But the Obamacare already should be canceled. I don't like hearing Obamacare, Trump Care. This is America Care. Medicare is for all senior people. Citizens, the American healthcare system should be for everyone. Under a single payer system, everybody would be covered by an insurance plan no matter where they live. They'd be able to go to a hospital or a doctor and know exactly how this would work. They could get a supplemental if you want to pay more money, get the Cadillac plan. That's up to you. But at least you are able to go to a hospital at a time of need. I'll give you a very interesting example. Sometimes people call our agency and they're looking for a new doctor. Their doctor died, their doctor retired. They don't know who's in this healthcare systems and this and that. Is there somebody that maybe advertises with us, supports us, that they could recommend? And everything is who, what doctor takes this plan, what doctor takes that plan. I think the single-payer plan would take away a lot of that stress. People would be able to find a doctor in their network, not worrying, oh, I don't take this formula or I don't take this insurance. Everybody's the same. But I would like to see competition amongst private sector providers, as it was some time ago, not government totally involved. The fact that they are doing this, Larkin, behind closed doors, it disappoints me, angers me that has been done this way for all these years. It's time to open the door, open the windows, let some fresh air in, and maybe even put it on the ballot for the people to vote for it in November.
Yes, and I'd like to say people need to get an understanding of what a businessman goes through, like myself, General Welding, Made in America store, our employees 70, 75 plus. I have Blue Cross Blue Shield Aqua Blue program, which is a mediocre, no dental, and it's $16,800 a year. That's $8 an hour on an average 40-hour work week to cover. People don't realize the cost of middle-class America, what they've got to pay, and then your employer chooses to cover 0%, 50%, 75%, 100%. We want benefits, like you said earlier, there though, Larkin and Mike. You got to make a profit. Your company has to be able to give benefits. You want to give benefits because you want to keep your employees and you want to take care of your employees and family. And they just don't know the costs associated. We got to help everybody with this, get these prices in sync. And Larkin, you're right. The charges and doctors pay too much insurance. They got to charge so much at their home care. Everything's got to be readjusted and figured out. This needs to take time, and both sides need to work on it. It's a huge problem for growing companies and providing good service, and we want everybody to have good service.
And, Mark, you make an excellent point. Doctors pay egregious amounts of money.
As I know,
matter of fact,
Larkin, they have to share one office, you know.
Yeah. Well, doctors were starting to pull out of the state of Pennsylvania because they could not buy affordable insurance.
Yes.
But we've turned into such a litigious society that, you know, there's comes back to that. I want one of those favorite subjects of mine. We got so many cotton-picking lawyers and attorneys around here that are going to get you your fair share or there won't be any charge. We have some of the ambulance chasers out there. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I bring that up, Larkin, because like when people say a gas station makes so much money, and we know they make a penny on a gallon of gas, it's like a doctor makes so much money. And I have, you know, four doctor friends that they can barely afford the insurance, and they share the same building. You know, so you got to relate everything together and be honest.
You know, also Larkin, what the benefit of a single payer system is? It follows you around just like your Social Security. Suppose somebody's working over at Mark's and decides to go to Flags of Valor. I mean, they have to start reapplying, change the insurance. This employer has that particular provider. Another one has another. Whereas a single payer system, the patient chooses their physician and can go to any hospital without financial stress. That's the big thing. This became a racket, so to speak, the way it's operating now and the way it's operated for the last 25 years. Some of the people tell me in my travels, Michael, you have no idea. It was much better before. We would go to the doctor. We would lay $20 down on the table. That was a charge for the doctor visit. We got the prescription and we left. Now it's all this unbelievable paperwork. It's you need recommendations, you need referrals, you need everything in the kitchen sink. You call up now, oh, I don't take that insurance and this. And under the single payer system, it would put everybody in a better healthcare system, period. Everybody would know what is what.
I think we need to, at least I find myself finding it necessary to speak about a single-payer system as a modified single-payer system. I think there are ways that we can keep competition, that we can keep rewards for good, decent operations in place, which is the backbone of this country, risk and reward. And to think that, you know, you're going to be born and your Social Security number is going to represent your right to go into any hospital at any time, sit down and say, I don't feel well, without any consequence, I don't think is what it's not at all what I'm talking about. It is what some progressives talk about in a single payer system, but I don't subscribe to that. I think the free enterprise system and the free enterprise system has a lot of bad, you know, parts to it. It's easy ways to get around things and make unfair amounts of money at different things. I just think we have to be careful when we say a single payer system, and we have to make sure that we can modify that system enough. You know, listen, stop and think how big the Blue Cross Blue Shield building is in Philadelphia. And that is Blue Cross Blue Shield. It's 50-some stories, 60-some stories. And it's jam full of people in the healthcare business that are, you know, are administering the Blue Cross Blue Shield program. It's like everybody's saying we shouldn't allow, we shouldn't make any more internal combustion engines. Well, that's all well and good, but what are you going to do to maintain the 306 million internal combustion engines that we have operating in this country right now? They all go to scrap and everybody has to go out and buy a battery-operated car?
No, I think that all of those people would just remain employed, but they would have some guidelines, some structure. In other words, right now the competition is good, but they're saying that there are so many millions of people that have absolutely no access to health care. They go to the emergency room. A person goes to emergency room. That's a costly operation in itself. You go to the emergency room, you have the emergency doctor, they have to do all that prep to get you in, to get examined, you have to know who you are. If you had a single payer card, like a Medicare card, you'd be able to get through that system much easier. The problem is the high-priced doctors and all, that would have to be the Cadillac plan. But the single payer would allow the middle income people and the employers also to at least have a structure where company one is paying $1,400 a month for a family plan and company two is paying $950. Why can't there be some way of saying, well, let's bring that $1,400 down. It's just another company to $900. And then the employer would be able to pay a portion of it, and the employee pay the other portion. There's no discussion. This is all being done behind closed doors. And Larkin, if I ask you or Mark or anybody else to go to the internet right now and read just 10 or 12 pages of a synopsis version of the health care that they have bill that they have proposed right now, it's not available. How is that possible?
I don't think it should be a speed thing either. You know, when you run for president, you become and have it already ready. This takes time. Both, like you said, Lark, there's things in the Obamacare that probably work. They've got to take this out, both sides, look at every item, break it all down, what's good, what's bad, how will this affect, and come up with this great plan. It takes some time.
Larkin, this is also...
You know what Mark just suggested? Mark just suggested the answer that everyone knows is the answer, but nobody wants to recognize, and that is we need to take the damn politics out of politicization.
Right. Here's the thing that cracked me up on the last few days over the 4th of July. Everybody's been saying this, that the Democrats passed the policy known as the Affordable Care Act, pushed it on the American people, with no one in America knowing really what was in the plan until they passed it and then it started to take effect. But the Republican Party had 8 years to make plans. So if they had the opportunity, they would already be on the track, ready to move down the train on the track to know what they would offer if they became the people in power. Why? Isn't that type of plan being presented now? They're fighting over basics.
Yeah, no, here's all the Republicans did for 8 years was criticize Obamacare.
Right.
They didn't say, here's a better program, here's the way we ought to restructure it, here's our suggestion. All they said is we got to get rid of Obamacare. For what? well, there was no answer to for what. But this is where politics kicks in. This Schumer guy from New York, who to me is represents everything that you do not want in a leader, absolutely do not want. When that program was handed out at like 1:30 in the afternoon, at 2:05, Schumer, or whatever his name is, was on the House floor with the program, with the word mean written in big letters. He had to have had that printed before he even saw the program. And I'm here to tell you that between the time that the Republicans introduced their program and he stepped onto the floor, he couldn't possibly have read the first page.
Right, and you're right, Mark. And even if you go back to the stimulus package, which was 1,400 pages, nobody ever read it. They shove that in, and they don't look at what it does or causes. You've got to listen. You got to all listen, get an understanding of what it's about and what we need, and then make decisions. And we're absolutely touching on something. It's all politics, and it shouldn't be. Like you said, Mike, for eight years, the Republicans could have been working on it. They didn't take the time to work together to actually have a plan. That would have been beautiful.
You know, as the president, now President Trump, was running for office, and he kept saying we're going to repeal and replace Obamacare, I thought that by the time the election came, both sides would have had a plan in place. Well, if we do have to replace it, if Hillary was elected, she would have done something to modify the plan to make it Hillary Clare or whatever. And Trump would have gotten in there and say, I have a plan before me. We're going to move forward with this plan. But they introduced this plan some months ago and it failed. This plan was delayed. I think they better all get together and discuss what is really best for America, for the American people, to make health care affordable and accessible to every single American, not based upon money, but based upon the fact that you are an American.
Yeah, now let's think about this. Where would the think tank be, Mike and Larkin? Where would the think tank? Do we need to develop this building room, or would it be the House, or would it be the Congress? Who should be the think tank where both sides are involved to really figure this out?
Well, there's a kids program, Conjunction Function. I can't remember the name of the program. It was years ago.
Yeah, years ago. I remember it, where a vote becomes a bill. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember.
And that's exactly. And I think every American should, you know, find that. It's only
I remember
three-minute film.
Yeah.
It shows that the House sits down and puts together a bill, and they pass it, and then they send it over to the Senate. The Senate passes it, presents it to the President. The President signs it or vetoes it. And the fact of the matter is that process has just absolutely collapsed.
Yeah.
Because nobody's interested in bringing bills to the floor. They're interested in criticizing the other side. And Democrats or Republicans never came up with an alternative to Obamacare when they could have. And Democrats, at the same time, saying that Obamacare was a great start, okay, well, here's 8 years with Obama, and let's fix it.
Yeah, and who suffers? It? The American people.
And, you know, Mark, you as a businessman should not have to be worrying about the cost of health care for your employees.
Absolutely.
You should be given a plan A or B. The plan A is the single payer system, which is the basics where everybody is covered the same. And the B is the Cadillac plan with some extra stuff, which you're willing to put in because you want to be a great employer and offer a great benefit. That's not happening. There is no plan. For 8 years, I thought each time the news media said they're criticizing the Obamacare, and I thought, well, where is the documented plan? What are they saying has to be done?
Yeah. How do you fix this, Larkin?
Well, it's going to take a lot of creativity. It's going to take a lot of revamping rules that come with our form of government. I think it's got to, you know, to me personally, I don't want another Social Security Administration. I don't want another Health Care Administration. that, you know, overemploys 1,200 people to administer a program that could be done by 300.
That we pay for.
Yeah. That we pay for, exactly.
And well, Larkin, take, for instance, in the state of Pennsylvania, we have, through the aging network, you have to compete for everything. And that's not happening now. Everybody has to go on the internet and see what they want to do, and their employers have to hire outside people to check it out, what's going to be best. There's too many sides of the story. It takes away, there should be rules and regulations attached to the new plan that comes about. And I agree with Mark. I don't want this thing rushed through. I want everybody to know about it well in advance of the vote, so that they would be able to call their House members or their senators and say, vote for package one, vote for package two. Right now, would you be able to call your senator or your congressman and tell them vote for this or that? No, because no one has seen it documented.
So I'm here to tell you, listen to me carefully, every state has their own insurance providers. There's Blue Cross of Eastern Pennsylvania. There's Blue Cross of Western Pennsylvania. They have the state divided up, and they don't cross into each other's territory. And Blue Cross of Pennsylvania does not, unless otherwise, you know, you work in Pennsylvania and live in New Jersey, they don't cross state lines. They're not permitted to write insurance in other states. That has to go away. Lock, stock, and barrel.
Right. You're right, Larkin.
We have to allow the industry to create a Geico or to create a Progressive.
So you want no boundaries, Larkin.
I want no boundaries. Absolutely none. And this, you know, each one of these Blue Cross Blue Shields, Humanas, Aetnas, or whatever they are in each state, have CEOs that are making $1 million. They have board of directors that are making egregious amounts of money, and they have complete staff. You know, they're just top heavy.
Yeah. Just, now, if the congressmen, now they all get 100% health, right? Coverage?
I mean, the people working for Blue Cross?
The government.
I don't know.
The case, though, they wouldn't know what Mark Handel's going through or what the individual with no insurance is going through, and I think that's a problem, too.
That's a major problem.
You follow me? I mean, how do you talk about something you don't have? How do you make big decisions on something you've never been?
See, Larkin, which is something...
I misunderstood the question. Congressmen, senators, and staffers in Washington, D.C. have their own insurance package.
Right.
Underwritten by the government. They don't buy any insurance. And
so they're covered, is my point.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And, you know, Larkin, under this new plan, everybody should be covered equally, from the president to the person who's working in a congressional office, every American. You know, right now, Larkin, you're right.
That's how it should be treated.
You're right. Blue Cross or whatever of Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Pennsylvania, every one of them makes their own rules and regulations. That's what this Obamacare was supposed to address. And when Trump was running for office, now President Trump, he said, we're going to cut the boundaries, make the regulations less strenuous and all this. The rules and regulations are not going to kill people. Well, that's what I want to see. So far, these last two attempts have not been what I was hoping for. And I think it's good if every person listening would go to their telephone and give your senator a call or your congressman a call and say, I'd like to see some effort put into the single payer discussion. Let's get it online. Let's get it on television. They're spending millions of dollars for all kind of foolishness. Get some money, put on an hour or two program that this is going to be what it's all about, or even have the president go on television personally and outline one statement after the next. This is what we're proposing. That's not being done right now.
So listen very carefully. If somewhere along the line we made it Congress and the Senate, the House and the Senate, accountable, if we said to them, you now have to buy your insurance from the network that you live in, that you represent, and you don't get this
sweetheart
this sweetheart deal you're getting right
there
now.
There you go, Larkin.
See how quickly they'd be fixing that system.
And that's my point with it. That would be exactly, they'd feel, then they'd care because their family's affected.
Right. I'd like to see, I mentioned that 2 years ago when they first started campaigning for president. I'd like to see something on the ballot, a referendum that every American, no matter whether they're in public office or private office, is given an opportunity to have health care, number one, without all the fancy rules and regulations, and that the government people are treated no differently than any other American. The fact that they're getting everything plus, they don't even realize what's happening around them. They're pampered, these people. And believe me, I can tell you they are pampered. And I tell them to their face that they're pampered.
Well, all you got to do is go to the Capitol, and if you can get behind closed doors to see their railroad, their own lunchrooms, it's you're right. Pampered is not the right term. These guys are, they are now celebrities. And who the hell wants a celebrity to be your leader?
If a politician's district had to be successful and then that their compensation was based off the success of the business and the people in their area.
Larkin and Mark and everybody listening, if there was a single-payer type system, you could have a website that would actually explain what Plan A is about, what Plan B is about. My employer is offering Plan A, Plan B, and he's going to pay 20% or 50% or 100%. You would be able to know. Right now, you go on to these websites of these various insurance providers, and you have to almost kill yourself to know what's going on.
And, Mike, employers and employees could have options on how much they want to pay for the package they want.
Right. The single payer could give you a standard service. If you want the Cadillac plan, then the employee could pay
you
on their own.
More. Yeah.
They could do whatever you choose.
So listen, Michael, I'm going to have to drill this into you. I'm going to call you at 11 o'clock at night before you fall asleep, so you dream about it, because it can get kind of confusing. You want a modified single payer system. You want to modify that system, because the single payer system is easy peasy, lemon squeezy, and the government covers it all out of the tax dollars. And I don't think that's what we want. I think that's where the abuse starts. I think that's where these huge bureaucratic systems start. It was said, to what we were talking about 30 seconds ago, it was said, if you went to Congress and told the House and Senate, listen, here's the deal. If you don't produce a budget that's balanced, income balanced against outgo, if you don't do that, for every month past that, we're going to dock 10% of your pay. How quickly do you think they'd come up with a balanced budget?
Yeah, you got to hit them in their pocket.
Larkin, about the single payer system, what do you think about this portion of the single payer system? That everybody is guaranteed to have insurance of some type. In other words, right now we have 42 million people plus on Medicaid, not Medicare, but Medicaid. We're paying for that, so they're included in a single Medicaid balanced system. The government is paying that for you. So into a doctor, you show them your Medicaid card. The seniors show the Medicare card. So we're paying regardless. Let's get everybody working on the same sheet of music. Maybe we could reduce the cost of drugs. I know I mentioned earlier, the senior system in Pennsylvania, the PACE system, is you must give a cost, what your drug costs, and they accept your cost in order for you to be in the system that the state will pay for the senior program. If you're not in that system, then you just don't. You can't use that particular drug unless you pay for it on your own. But now it got to the point where all the drugs are covered under the PACE program.
So here's another mistake that I think we're firing around that we need to be careful of. There are two programs out there. One is called Medicare, and one is called Medicaid. They are not the same program. Those are two distinctly different funded programs. Absolutely. Medicare is what we all get when we turn 65. Medicaid is a program that covers Americans who have Medicaid. It covers them for hospital stays, doctor's specialist appointments, and that type of thing. They're two different, distinctly different programs. What we need to do for this program is we need to get an expert on Medicare and Medicaid to come on and explain the program. It's very detailed. It's very difficult. It's very confusing. But that's the problem. That's why they have such a hard time really coming up with a solution.
And, you know, Larkin, you just said the right thing. There needs to be a special guest, a national guest, explaining this to the people, explaining this to the employers. Somebody appointed by the House and the Senate and the Surgeon General to come on and say, ladies and gentlemen, this is what they're proposing. And it would unite people. You would be able to have competitive services if you would like to pay a little additional. You'd get a HMO if you are on the regular system from your employer or the government. And we'd do away with this Medicaid issue. It would just be the single payer. And if you are in a particular category, the government would continue to pay for you. But there's something very interesting about the single payer system. And that is, when you have that system in place, you start to demand the drug companies to regulate their prices. You regulate the prices of doctor visits, of hospital visits, and stays. Right now, you can go to one hospital and your charge is so much. You can go to another hospital in another area of the city or state, and the charge is different. Why is that?
Well, it is because we don't regulate hospitals. And like my dinky little neighborhood at Green Cove Springs, Florida, in Fleming Island, they've built an emergency room and a doctor's office building in the Baptist Health System. The Jacksonville, North Florida health system. And they've gone now to the city fathers in Fleming Island and said, we want to turn this emergency room into a hospital. We want to build a hospital. And the city fathers go, well, why? If I'm standing in Fleming Island, inside 10 minutes, I can be in two different hospitals. Why do we need a third hospital? Why do we need to create another hospital that's going to create a need to fill beds, that's going to have to support the doctors that staff them and the nurses that staff them and all the equipment? Why do we need that? That's where supply and demand has taken a wrong turn, because there is no demand for probably, I'm guessing, a wild hair. 15% maybe, I don't know, 20, I have absolutely no idea. But there are a significant number of hospitals that just don't need to exist.
And Larkin and Mike, I was told by different areas, I've got General Welding's, Made in America stores, a lot of towns and cities have the older buildings. I said, why don't you use them buildings? Well, they don't like to give loans for the old buildings. They can get a new loan on a new building, so they like to build a new building, a new business, a new school, a new hospital. It's easier to get the money and capital for that. So there's many reasons. Plus, they get to keep the taxes on the old building if they don't knock the building and build another one.
Yeah, so, that's how it works.
And that's how it works, right, guys?
Yeah, I understand. Working in human services, I see a lot of things that are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Larkin, I agree with everything that you said. There's something I would like to demand happen, and I'd like to see it on the referendum on the November ballot. I'd like to see both parties on TV for 1 hour. Let's hear the proposal of the Democrats. And for the next hour, we hear the proposal of the Republicans. 2 days later, they come back and they give us additional information about their proposals. We don't have that right now. Nobody knows anything. People walk up to me in my travels and say, what do you think about all this discussion about health care? You know, I say, well, I wish I could see it documented before I can tell anybody to vote for it or against it, to call their congressman to vote for it or against it. I have not seen anything.
So I must tell you, when Obamacare first broke and became a law, the federal government went to great lengths to try to explain the law to the street. Well, they don't have a better conduit to the street, and certainly to the Mark Andels of the world, than SCORE and the SBA. And they went to great, great lengths to supply us with experts on the act who could come and explain it. And I went to three meetings, two at CCP, at the Community College of Philadelphia, and one at the City of Philadelphia, and listened to the Eastern Pennsylvania, who's actually Mid-Atlantic specialist, and 3 days, three half days. So, I mean, a total of 12 hours. I couldn't explain Obamacare to you right now for $1 million. I couldn't explain it.
And, you know, you're right, Larkin. When they send something over to the Congress, 2,400 pages, I mean, 15 pages to tell you what it's all about is more than enough. 15 pages. And it can be done if it's done correctly. You don't need all that. And these whereases and all, it's not possible. I mean, it's going to take all the hospital systems, all the healthcare systems, and the people in government all getting together and say, this party has to come to some kind of an end. The lights, the candles are blowing out on their own because they're worn down. The people have no more money to pay. The employers are going bankrupt, paying for all these healthcare bills and all, seeing their people running from one doctor to the next, having to get all these, you know, referrals and everything else. It's insane.
Yeah, Mike, you want one country, one team, one goal then.
Right. That's all I want. I'm in human services.
Together.
People call me and they ask me, the first thing I have to do is go to the computer to see if there's some way I can explain it to them in the proper manner. You're in a business. Well, you're trying to keep people employed. That's the thing that we have to focus on, keeping people employed.
But Larkin touched on something. You take Medicare, you take Medicaid, you get the experts that know these systems, if they worked or didn't, the good parts, the bad parts. You see something that's working. One's about everyday care. One's about maybe extended care with hospitals and whatnot. And there's a lot to that. There's a lot to getting it. And, you know, Larkin, there's so much there, but they could look at that and use that as examples, break it down and see what works, what doesn't work, and develop this system from that understanding.
Yes, absolutely. And you know what happens to Obamacare? It's the same thing that happened to the U.S. tax code. Somebody, those dreaded lobbyists hit the floor running and screaming, saying, you know, you got to put something in the tax code that protects these farmers. So now there's huge tax breaks for people who have to pay outrageous amounts of money for farmers, which encourages farmers to keep the price up because who cares? You're going to get a tax break anyway. I mean, this is what happens to the tax code. When I know that with as little financial capability as I have, I could sit down and write a 3-page tax code that would, but again, the same thing would happen there that would happen in the healthcare industry. You have CPAs, you have accountants, you have bookkeepers, you have bankers, you have tax people, you have big organizations like Block all the way down to small organizations that depend on the tax code being difficult.
Yeah.
Well, why else would I pay $260 to have some guy do my taxes?
And guys, I think we forget everybody don't have our care. And everybody is, you know, they may be about their self only, right? That's the problem.
And you know what else is also very interesting, Larkin, is who is paying for the time of Mark Andel's people to be playing games with all these healthcare providers? That's why you have to simplify everything. He shouldn't be paying a personnel department person to try to explain the benefits to the employee when they come on board or what's happening to them. It should already be a 15-page document that tells you this is your care, this is what you can do. There's no doctor that's out of your bounds. Too many of these doctors got high and mighty. I see it through the people I work with. They're high and mighty. They don't care. Oh, I'm not accepting that insurance, and that's not enough for my services and all. It shouldn't be like this.
And
we're dealing with life.
Mike, when we do that, we get all our employees, and we do it in shifts, and try to get the specialist to explain it to my people. He gives his cell number. He gives a house number. They're confused. We're confused. He tries his best, and he admits he doesn't even know.
Well, that's why I say, if every healthcare provider, Larkin, was told, we want you to give a proposal why your particular service, Blue Cross or Health, whatever, is better to go along with in this part of the state. There should be no lines. It should be everybody has access to everything. If you said you have to bring it down to 15 pages, no more, or you're not able to get in to the ability to bid for the program, I think you'd have a better outcome. It would give you 15 pages of what we will offer to all providers who are part of the single payer system that we have control of. There's no particular company going to be able to manage the single payer system, you know, across the nation. It has to be done as it is now. Philadelphia, Southeastern Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania.
I wish it were that simple, Michael.
I know. I'm trying to simplify it so our people call their elected officials and say, we got to have more discussion on this, but it has to be discussion on television programs. Get the president up there for a special speech. I mean, get the House representatives, get them to get on in their local communities with town halls and all. But bring 15 pages and pass it around to everybody and see what the people have to say. The people not going out to the communities from their elected positions in Washington is what caused this debacle in America. Nobody knows their officials. Nobody knows what's going on.
And do the officials know enough if they have 100% coverage, they don't have to worry about this in their life? Are they the experts that should be on this, making the decision about
they should have the meeting and bring the experts with them?
Yeah, they have to bring the experts. Everybody has their expertise. They have to gather the experts.
So just remember, Michael, that my hated word when it comes to Made in America and a lot of the initiatives that we talk about, the one word that I really despise is socialism, socialist. Socialized, any one of those three words you can keep. And I don't want socialized medicine in this country.
Oh, no, I'm not for socialized medicine, but the single payer allows the local healthcare providers, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, whatever, to have access to their given market. But somebody who's not in their market or wants to go to another market can do that as well. And there is a way to make this system work, just like the Medicare system works. And you can have access to all the programs and services you need. There can be a way of working this out for every single American.
I don't disagree with that. But it's going to be a complex program that's going to have to make sacrifices on all sides.
All sides. You're right. And the profit margin, it has to profit every American and every American worker. It has to profit every American business. We can't, you know, saw your head off because you're trying to provide quality service for your company and have to pay $1,000 plus a month when that comes out to a lot of dollars per hour.
Really hurts the businesses, guys.
It's killing. I mean,
and then you can't keep your good employees if they can go somewhere. But even utility companies, whatnot, they're all slashing and cutting. The benefits just don't exist like they used to, and you're getting less coverage and care.
You know, that's a good point, Mar. That's a good point, because if everybody had access to a more regulated market, not price gouging market, I think you'd be able to keep people. You'd be able to put those extra dollars into paying those people rather than paying for rising health care costs.
They'd be staying with you because they have passion for it instead of chasing the health, which they're doing now, the benefits.
Wow.
Yeah.
Larkin, I want to continue this conversation, and I want all of us, the three of us, to continue this conversation. I want Rich in on this, too, and maybe we can get Dr. Sue and some of the other experts on that have been on our broadcast in the past, because I think we discussed more sensible things today during our broadcast than we've heard from Washington for the last 2 years.
And what do we know? I went to LCU, Morgan Conley University.
Right. Here would be my suggestion, Michael, that for the next 2 months, we take the first or second half hour of our program and have an expert on from pharma, from hospital organizations, from doctor, from the AMA, from, all of the elements. Here's to me one of the most offensive things about healthcare in this country right now. From the time you park your car in the garage to when you sit down on the exam table with the doctor, the bureaucracy is almost frightening. It's scary is what it is. I go to the same hospital, Lankenau Hospital. I've been going to Lankenau Hospital for I can't even tell you how many years. And every time I go, I have to answer the same questions. I've had to answer the same questions on the same forms when they were filled out 2 days prior.
That's right. You know, Larkin, as I said earlier, in some countries, your driver's license is put into the system and all the information comes out no matter where.
They already got it on your Social Security
right.
number.
Right. It doesn't make sense what they're doing. It's keeping people employed. I understand that. And that's very wonderful that they're keeping people employed. But we also have to understand if we want workers to have jobs, we want employers to want to be here in America, we have to regulate those costs so they can stay here and expand here. Well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you. Thank you again for all that you're doing to support American Workers and American Workers Radio. My best wishes to all of you. We'll be back again next Wednesday at 11, and you can hear a rebroadcast of today's broadcast simply by going to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. My thanks to Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, and Mark Andel, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and all of you for spreading the word, because American workers need us. Have a great one.
Great show, guys. Thank you. Enjoy the week.
Yeah, great show.